All right. So, peace, brothers and sisters. I want to welcome you to this week's Black Wallets Matter Town Hall meeting. My name is Brother Lou, and I will be your host this evening. If this is your first time calling in, I want to run down a few ground rules for how we manage these calls. They usually last for about 2 hours if we have a really good one. So let me just say in advance that we appreciate you coming to hang out with us tonight. I hope you're feeling inspired and empowered because you are now on a platform with a group of like-minded brothers and sisters who have come together for the purposes of discussing solutions to many of the problems that we face in our Black community. So let me just tell you really quick, some ground rules for these calls. So if you notice when you first called in, I refer to you as either brother or sister, and the reason we address you as such is to show you respect and to form a bond as a sign of solidarity. So during these calls, we do not discuss religion, we do not discuss the Black male and female dynamic, and we do not discuss political party affiliation. We can discuss politics as it relates to us here in America and how we can use it to improve our situation, but we don't want to get into a discussion about which party did this and which party did not do that. The reason we do not discuss these topics is because they are all opinion-based, which means no one is right and no one is wrong. We'll be here arguing, going around in circles all night without making progress. So for all the guests on the call, let me just tell you what this organization is about. So if you haven't watched the blueprint yet, which is the video that we, where we explain this organization, Black Wallets Matter is a member association comprised of brothers and sisters that believe the only way we're going to fix the problems in the Black community is if we do it ourselves and we start using the power of the Black dollars we already have. It's estimated we spend $1.4 trillion a year in consumer spending. So if we were to pool just a fraction of that money and practice group economics, we could have a major impact on our community. So this is a form of Black capitalism, right? This is a form of how we would spark a Black economy. Last week we were talking about an economy and the various components and what it actually means, and so I will just reiterate that now. So an economy is just basically the production, the manufacturing, the distribution, and the consumption of goods and services, right? So there are three components to that. There are the producers slash manufacturers, there are the distribution people, and then there are the consumers, which are the end customers. Black folks here in America, we are mainly the consumers. We do not produce and manufacture much of nothing, and we don't distribute barely anything. The only things that we really manufacture or produce, by and large, are like sports and entertainment and things like that. In terms of distribution, we don't control the means of distribution of the things that we actually create, and we really need to focus on that. We consume everything. We consume things that are not even good for us, right? And so if you really think about this, if you think about the whole all the components of this economy, the consumption, the people who have the money and who are willing to spend, they're arguably the most important part. And we have that. So before I got on a call, I was actually reading some notes from Dr. Claude Anderson's book, Powernomics, and things like that. And he was talking about how the system of white supremacy, how it's like a frame of a house. So it basically shapes the way that this country is set up. But, like with a house, those are the 2x4s, the frame. Once they put the sheetrock and the paint and all the other stuff, you no longer see it. But that is the frame of the house. He's saying that is exactly what the system of white supremacy is. And the system of white supremacy is not just because white people don't like us. It is for an economic purpose. And what we have to do is we have to figure out a way to strip down the sheetrock and all of that stuff and tear down those 2x4s, or we have to go and form our own framework. I am all for forming our own framework. I'm not into trying to tear down the whole system of white supremacy. We don't have enough resources, and it's not even necessary. There are other groups of people who have come together. They have formed their system within this system. They have exploited loopholes and all these other different things to protect and provide for their people. And there should be no reason we cannot do the same. I believe that, like I said, because we have the consumption part, which arguably is the most important part of the equation, we can definitely build the other two. To do the production and the manufacturing component of it, we can just buy businesses. We can just buy manufacturing companies. I was talking with three people yesterday about the things that we create or our capability to create. And I was like, you know, listen, I don't want to get into arguments about what black people can and can't do and all this other stuff, because I don't. We really can't compare apples to apples, you know, as to white folks, because they've had a 500-600 year head start on us. You know, they're trying to go to the freaking moon and all this other weird stuff, and you know, we're not even thinking of electrical components yet, right? But what we can do is buy one of those types of companies. In terms of the distribution, I was speaking with a brother today who owns a trucking company, a trucking business, and he was telling me that, you know, his dream, his wish would be to train more brothers and sisters to learn how to operate these 40,000 pound pieces of machinery, he said, because it would, one, help them build their self-esteem, but then two, it will allow them to allow us to jump into an industry that is in demand and basically start controlling the means of distribution. And when I told him that one of the goals of this organization is to, you know, buy transportation companies and things like that, you know, the brother, he was, you know, his outlook towards the organization changed a little bit, and he was very happy that was something that we were focused on. He was happy that it was something that we had identified. Just those two suggestions that I just made would help us create something of a black economy. Two simple parts: start buying businesses that you know, that produce the things that we already want. Start having our brothers and sisters, you know, either drive the trucks or buy these transportation companies, and then start, you know, distributing these things to us so that we can consume them. We don't need to be taught how to consume, because we do that already. Madison Avenue, you know, these big retailers, they have already brainwashed us to consume. So it's only going to take a few of us to open up our eyes and understand that we need to start getting serious about practicing group economics. We need to get serious about understanding economics, period. I speak with a lot of people about building wealth. A lot of folks have like a romantic idea or a romantic notion about wealth. And I'm like, listen, it's really about, like, you know, nickels and dimes. It's math. It's 1 + 1 = 2. It's, you know, it's delaying self-gratification for a while and really understanding, you know, vehicles of investing and things like that. And what we need, the two components that I mentioned in terms of, you know, businesses and industries and transportation, those are wonderful opportunities and wonderful investment opportunities for any brother or sister trying to figure out where they need to get in. Because you can help your folks, you can help your family, you can help the black community at large by investing in one of those two areas. And it's just that simple. Also, Dr. Claude Anderson was talking about, which is the reason why we formed this organization. No single person on this call has enough strength or enough financial resources to save our people by themselves. No one. We have to come together, and we have to do it together, because as we all know, there's strength in numbers. So what Dr. Claude Anderson, what he pointed out, he was like, the way that we're acting is, it's like counterintuitive to nature. It defies the first law of nature, which is self-preservation. When other groups are persecuted and oppressed, they huddle together, they form tight-knit groups, they form organizations, they form churches and They form businesses and all kinds of different things. The Jewish community has done it. The LGBT community has done it. White women have done it. Asians have done it. Latinos are actively doing it right now. The Arabs are actively doing it right now. And if, you know, for a recent show of their strength, if you remember when Trump, you know, shot that executive order last year or whatever that, yeah, I think that was like last year or the week year before. They pool their resources, $24.1 million in one weekend, and block this dude's executive order. This is the president of the United States. It was crazy. That's a show of strength. And we all know, so most of us in our local neighborhoods, you go to the corner store, it's an Arab dude. You don't see all the Arabs getting together. You know, they're not making a big plan. They're not hooting and hollering, doing all this stuff. But when it's time to move, something instinctive within them makes them move on code. And we need to reinvigorate that same spirit amongst ourselves. We're here on this call. We want to do something. Conducting these calls, hosting these calls, me, you know, interacting with various brothers and sisters from all across this country, I'm realizing that people want to do something. They just don't know what and they don't know how. Right? It's like, well, where's the structure? Where's the organization? We want something that's effective and all-encompassing. This organization is not about you making drastic changes to your behavior. That has never worked for any of us, for any black organization, demanding that people, that the majority of people make radical changes to their behavior. It has never worked. It's why people, you know, why people don't go to the gym long. You know, they're like, yeah, I'm going to go lose some weight, and you may stick to the gym. You may stick to it for a year, but then, you know, you get like the snapback effect, and next thing you know, you're like, oh, man, I got to get back in the gym. This organization is trying to build upon existing behavior. It's trying to capitalize on the things that our people already do. So if you are already inclined to want to do something, if you are so motivated by the problems that you see in this in our community, and you want to work with a group of brothers and sisters on solutions, then we are building that organization. It's hard. I have to be honest with you. It's hard. We've been at it for a year. We've made progress, but we take one step forward, get knocked back two steps. That's just the nature of what we're trying to do. But once it's done, it will last forever. And we have a brilliant plan. We have a brilliant plan. The plan is to find 1 million concerned black men and women in America. That is 2%. It's 2.3% of the 42 million black folks that are here. I believe that there is 2.3% of brothers and sisters who care and who are motivated to do something. That small group, by pooling their resources, creating the things that we're talking about, so let's say if we go and we buy a manufacturing plant, well, guess what? The brothers and sisters who don't care, who are not thinking about, you know, who don't care about the man down the street and don't care about pro-black this or whatever, that man or that woman needs a job. They got to put food on their table. If we go and we give them a job, guess what? We're doing our part. And what happens is if they see that the code of conduct in that business is to have respect, it's to address one another in a respectful manner and things like that, because we're putting food on their table, they will comply. And that's it's just as simple as that. And same thing with the transportation. You got brothers that may have an entrepreneurial bent, right? And they're like, well, you know, I'm not really sure where should I go or what should I do. Hey, bro, learn how to drive a truck and become an owner-operator. And then now you can band together with these other owner-operators, and now we have like this network of brothers and sisters who own and operate trucks, and they're, you know, they basically – we can basically get the stuff that we manufacture to all neighborhoods, all ports, or wherever we need, all the points that we need in between. That's no one doing anything radically different. No one's doing anything radically different. But I will say this, though. To get the resources, the seed capital, to even get this off the ground, we need investments. We need a cash cow, right? So I was actually thinking about this. I'll tell you what. This organization, as a membership organization, we ask for membership dues. We ask to collect membership dues. Membership dues are $10 a month, $25 a month, or $50 a month, like whatever you're comfortable with. The membership dues would basically be the backbone for a lot of these ventures that we want to do, that we want to get into. So let's say if we want to get into manufacturing, right? We don't know anything about manufacturing, plastic manufacturing, extruders, and all this other stuff. We don't know anything about all of that. So basically, we would have to invest in the company and learn the game. When you're learning the game, you're not really operating as efficiently. You're really not making that much money. So that means you have to have some money to fall back on. That's where the membership dues come in. The membership dues will allow us to keep the company afloat as we're learning the game. It's the same thing when we get into the transportation, and so we have a brother from Detroit, and we got a brother from Chicago, and a brother from Atlanta, and it's like, well, what about all the people that are in, like, North Carolina? What about the people that are in Texas? And what about that? Well, guess what? The organization has money to keep this thing afloat until we're able to connect the dots and connect the points. And that's the reason why we're looking for 2,000 founding members. 2,000 founding members, at the very least, with $10 membership, we give this organization $20,000 a month in recurring income. $20,000 a month in recurring income will allow us to build our first business. Our first business will be a shopping portal. So like I said, we want to capitalize on existing behavior. We are the largest consumers in America. I think if they put all our money together, we would be like the 9th or 10th largest economy in the world. This is just African-American black folks here in America, however you identify yourself. So the shopping portal that I'm talking about is similar to Ebates, if anybody is familiar with that, and it's essentially like a list of stores that people actually shop at. I know a lot of people are like, yeah, we need to have, you know, all of our brothers and sisters with their businesses and put their stores in there. But the reality of it is the vast majority of us, we spend our money with Walmart and Target and Home Depot and Lowe's and all of these other different types of companies. That's where our money actually goes. And so we have engineered relationships where when you spend your money with those organizations, with those companies outside of our community, money can come back to us. And then from that, so like I said, we need a cash cow. That money that you spend, you are going to spend it anyway. It doesn't cost you not one single dime extra to spend that money, and a portion of it comes back to the organization. So if you guys remembered the email that I sent you for this call, way down at the bottom, there was a thing, something about like Amazon or whatever. We begin testing that because that's essentially what it would be like. It's like, so if you got to buy some pencils or a backpack or something for your daughter, if you click that link and you go on Amazon and you buy whatever it is, it doesn't cost you anything extra, and then the organization would be able to still get, you know, it's a small portion. It's like, I don't know, it's pennies, but every little bit counts. The other reason why we need the 2,000 founder members, because this is what we want to give our members. We want to give our members perks as if they're in a union. So there's this construction union, I keep forgetting to look them up, but whenever they do construction, they blow up this big inflatable rack. So I think they're pipe fitters or something like that. But so the person who, well, there's a couple of them, but the guy who deals with their union, you know, gives them their perks, their vision, their, you know, all that other stuff. I actually was working with him last year. And what we would be able to do is you would be able to get discounts on your, you know, at your regular store. So we were talking about shopping online, but even if you went to your local Applebee's, your local Walmart, your local Target, as a member of this organization, you would have certain membership perks. And you would go in and, you know, say, all right, I'm in Walmart. What deals are available? What discounts do I get? And when you get to the checkout, you just show your phone or you scan your phone or whatever. Over the course of the month, you would save way more than the $10, $25, or $50. right? So that basically totally negates your membership dues. But in addition to that, we, you know, in partnership with our nonprofit organization, Wheelchairs Against Guns, we are now actually offering you the option or the ability to write off your membership dues. So you basically would be like doubling your money or more. But the thing is, we actually need 5,000 members to in order to activate those perks. But even at the 2,000 founder members, I was like, you know what, I'll just pay the rest out of my pocket, because that's how much I believe in this organization. So that's the reason why we wanted to, this is the reason why we invite brothers and sisters on a call, to tell them, to let them know that this is what the organization is about. This is how we actually plan on making changes in the community. And once we have these businesses up, right, the businesses are not there for the purposes of just enriching individuals, making more rich black folks that will go off and, you know, not contribute back to the community. The purpose of, you know, buying these businesses and creating this group economics is so that we can build community resource centers in every major black neighborhood and secondary neighborhood, or wherever it's needed. And what will happen in these community resource centers, it will be just like I said, like with the Jewish community and the LGBT community and all these people, they have these buildings where they teach their children, the upcoming generations, they teach them about their culture, they teach them about their history, and then they also teach them skills that they can use to make money and train themselves. So our community resource centers will have our kids there. They'll learn, you know, about their history. They'll get a new definition of what it means to be black. So like all of the negative things that we have right now, like where we don't trust one another, you know, that quote unquote crab in a barrel mentality and all of that, those ideas will be erased from our children's brain. Actually, they won't even be erased. They will never be formed. And that's the reason why we're focusing on the youth. Because when the youth are growing up, their minds are empty. And so what we're doing is we're shaping their minds instead of changing their minds. And that gives us a much higher, better success rate. So that's going to be available for the youth. While they're also there, we'll teach them, you know, computer programming. We'll try to get them into IT and things like that. Those are growing industries, and we have a great opportunity right now to get our foot in the door and become and have a good place in there. Right now, black folks, we don't dominate any industry except for sports and entertainment. And like I said, we don't control the distribution. So if we can get our children in there, you know, in tech, that's a great place to start. The other thing that we will be having at these community resource centers, we will be having vocational training. So I don't know if many of you remember in school, you used to have shop, you used to have, you know, home, or what was that called? It's basically like plumbing, electricity, like you could learn trade. They took all of that stuff out of the schools. We're going to put those things back in our communities so that our kids can go in there, learn how, if they need to, learn how to make a living with skills, with their hands, learn how to fix cars, learn how to, you know, HVAC, learn how to lay roofs and wires and, you know, plumbing and framing houses, because everyone is upset about the gentrification that's going on. And my brain says, look at all problems as opportunities. All I see are opportunities. All I see are a whole bunch of new houses that's going to need work done. Right, I'm a landlord, so I know you always need work done. You always need work done. Tenants are always complaining about something. Stuff is always breaking. Instead of complaining about it, yeah, okay, cool. We got young men and women that are ready to seize that opportunity. They're able to snatch up those jobs. So that's pretty much what this organization is about in a nutshell. I'm going to open up the floor for a general discussion. We're going to bring some topic to the floor, and then we can begin discussing it. But before I open up the floor, I want to say we have a sister here. She has been on these calls since last September. Her name was Sister Teak, and unfortunately, she passed away this morning. So she was sick. Her last days, she was coming on these calls and being a staunch champion of this organization. But, you know, she unfortunately, you know, she had an illness and it got the best of her. And so if you are a praying person, then, you know, send your prayers out to her family and friends. And if you are not, if you're just a religious person, you can just send your well wishes. I think we have Sister Mai on the call. No, Sister Mai is not here. But Sister Mai and Brother Leonard, she's related to them. And actually, Sister Teak actually brought Sister Mai and Brother Leonard and a few other people. So she has been a serious champion of this organization. And so we just want to extend our condolences, our love, and our well wishes and blessings and things like that to Sister Mai, Brother Leonard, and Sister Teak's family, her granddaughter Heaven, and her fiance. They also attended these calls. So I am going to open up the call and put it in Q&A mode. Okay, so the topic for tonight that I would, first we have a few people who have come in that I didn't get a chance to greet, so just bear with me for a second. Caller from 314 area code, your first name please. Caller from 314 area code. All right, we need to know who we are on the phone with here. So if you this is your first time calling in and we didn't get a chance to get your first name, we're going to ask you for your name. If we can't get your first name, then we are going to unfortunately have to drop you from the call. Caller from 314 area code, your first name please. Okay, caller from 618 area code, your first name please. I see you, Brother Trevor. Give me a minute.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, it's Maurice Evans.
Peace, brother. Okay.
Hold on, brother. How you doing?
All right. Okay, brother. And caller from 314, we're still waiting for you. I don't know if your phone is muted. Caller from 858 area code, your first name, please. Caller from 858 area code. Hello?
Brother Hayward.
Brother, okay, cool, Brother Hayward. Hayward. All right, brother. And Brother Trevor, all right, so, hold on, Brother Trevor. Yes, Brother Trevor.
Hello?
Brother Trevor. Yep.
Yes, how you doing, brother?
Peace.
First, I want to say hello to everybody that's involved on this phone call. It's my first time, and I must say I am impressed with what I'm hearing. This is something I've been talking about for many years to my brothers and sisters, young and old, as far as coming together. I don't know if everybody's familiar with the Black Wall Street, but that is basically what the gentleman is talking about. Black Wall Street was where we had our own community, our own stores, and our monies was pooled in our communities. And it was later on destroyed by the quote-unquote white man because his situation in that surrounding area was basically destitute. And they didn't like the fact that our communities were thriving, so they destroyed it. And this is a common knowledge amongst the history of these people. Anytime we start to get ahead or get ahead, they want to destroy it. So we got to be mindful of the mental gains, the financial gains, and the psychological gains that they play in order to keep us down. The first thing we got to do as a people is start working and trusting and believing in ourselves. That's the first thing.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. So since you're in the queue, let me ask you this. So since we know we need to patronize one another, we need to, you know, help ourselves and, you know, spend our money with ourselves, why do you think most black businesses struggle or fail?
Well, because of what they call psychological slavery. we've been taught to not believe and trust in one another by them. And that was basically done so they can keep their economic circle going. They know because we are the biggest consumers on this planet, let alone this country, they know that if we do come together as a people, we can stop America in its tracks in a matter of days. If we were to stop shopping at their stores in one day, or collectively as a whole in this country, we will shut down America in 2 days. They know that. If you look at the bus boycott that had taken place back in the 60s, that's exactly what they did. They stopped being consumers in their environment and stuck with their own, to the point where they had to change certain local laws in order to make things equal for us. But it's not about making things equal for us. It's about us doing what we need to do for us, period.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate you weighing in.
Mm-hmm.
All
no
right.
No problem.
So brothers and sisters, so again, the question on the floor tonight is, so if we know that we're supposed to support one another, we know that one of the keys for our empowerment is to support our black businesses, why do most black businesses struggle or fail due to lack of support? What are the problems inherent with the black businesses? I know a lot of people, they say, well, I'm not going to weigh in on that as a black business owner. I know some things and other things, you know, it's just attitude. So if anyone has any insights or anything that they want to share on that, press star 6. Okay, no one wants to weigh in on that. All right. Okay, cool. Brother Jeff, Brother Leon, I'm going to... Awesome. Go ahead, Brother Jeff.
Good evening, family. How you doing, Brother Lou?
Peace.
I think the key factor with this with the black business thing is a lot of times when it starts from our homes, and I feel like a lot of this is not discussed. Like, you know, and we're not trained also as well as like when we make this income, because that's what we make, and we make an income. We're not making wealth, and when that income comes in, it's not discussed where that income should go. You know, throughout your household, you know, you let everybody, when they walk out the door, they just disperse and they go in their own direction. It's not discussed about when we bring this money in the house, where it should, you know, how it should be strategized within our community. And, you know, it should be a no-brainer without thought thing. But unfortunately, that's something we've lost along the way. So, but it's something that Black Wallets Matter going to bring back. But, until we can, you know, get that poured into each home, it's just that something's got to be taught, because it's not going to be taught in these white schools that our children go to every day. And it's a kitchen table discussion. It's got to be, you know what I'm saying, over your meal every night. It's got to, when you sit down with your family on Sundays or through the week, whatever, this is something that's got to be, you know what I'm saying, it's got to be in the blood. Until it's in our DNA, hey, it's gonna be it's just the way it is, and that's it.
Very unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Thank you for weighing
yep.
in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brother Leon. I see you, Sister Donna, and Brother Trevor.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Brother Lou. Yeah. That's an interesting question. And like I said, it's suddenly been, like the brother said, been us with a while. And it's, the thing that we're looking at is that by we recognizing that it is an issue, well, what we can do probably is by recognizing, just start with just a few people, or a few, like we're doing now, on what, recognize that as a problem, and then coming up with a solution, just being intentional about applying that particular process. And see, once we get a model of that, then we can take that and just project what it did in California, what it did in New York, and then grow from that point. Because like the brother said, is that it's in us. It was put into us by just by slavery. So it's by recognizing that, then the way to get it out is say we see that's the problem. Okay, we're going to take one particular city and take that city and make an example out of it by preaching that and make it just being intentional by not saying depend on everybody in that city, but depend on all like-minded people like we bring together to, say, support that idea in that city and have one model that is successful. And then as we see that, we put that in books and things, our little children can see that, and then they can say, then that way it'll start drawing momentum. Because it's something that is already there, so this is there, we can break it down by simply putting, when you have a dam, if you get one crack in the dam is getting ready to break. Okay, so we can have that one crack in the dam by what having one city, okay, or one area just doing what working together, producing and showing what the power of us working together. And once it's seen, then we can probably move on. That's what I like about this group. We're moving in that direction to have one particular unit, resource center, that's producing. And once that happens, like you say, everybody's going to fall in place. So I'm with the brother. It's something that's already there, but what we can do, the next step is being intentional about recognizing that it is here. What can we do about it? Well, what we can do about it is by having one particular city, or one particular area that's doing something that's not doing it. That's to say, it's disrupting that thought. And once that happens, then we can build on that one city and have two cities or two resource centers and go from that point. So that's how I see it at that point.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Brother Leon.
Yes, sir.
All right. Sister Donna. Yes, sister.
Okay, one of the things, I want to address 2 points.
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me?
You're really low.
Let me come up.
Okay. Hold on 1 second.
Go for it.
All right. Is that better?
Oh, excellent. Yep.
Okay. The first thing I wanted to say was, in parts of why we can't seem to get together, trust one another, spend money with ourselves, is that inferiority misconception we seem to have about one another. We seem to think when it's a black business, a black service, a black product, it's inferior to the white product.
Mm-hmm.
And that hurts us a lot by having that mindset and thinking that way. The other part to that is we are very harsh on one another. You know, don't let us have a business, you support it, and we make a mistake. Then you got to hear, oh, see, that's why you can't mess with black people. Or, you know, all of that. The white men do it every day. We go out, we give our dollars to them, and they mess up 10 times over. But we never say, oh, I ain't messing with black people again. We don't say, I'm not messing with white people again. I'm not bringing my money there. We run right back the next day. So we got to learn to be a little easier on one another, give each other a chance, you know. And then when we do mess up, if we do make a mistake as business owners, we need to rectify it right away. We need to practice good customer service. But that's the first portion. I just wanted to address why we have some issues. I also want to ask, when we in setting up this new coming Black Wall Street that we want to have, that we all on this call are interested in building, we see what happened to the first one, that right. They burnt us down once we became successful. How are we going to protect that from happening again?
Well,
and that's my first thought. Before build it, how do we know we're going to protect it?
Well, the benefit of the way that the organization is set up now is we are a distributed network, right? So right now we're on the phone. You're wherever you are. I'm where I am. We have people all over the whole country, and so basically doing the same thing that they do. Through ownership of companies and, you know, other different types of companies and different types of entities and things like that. That's basically how they control and protect their power. And we're basically just doing the same thing. You know, we're going to do the same thing. So when we're out there And so if we put, like, a community resource center, like, in the hood in Atlanta, ain't no white folks coming to tear that down because they're not paying attention. That's where the fruits of our labor will become evident. But in terms of, you know, we putting our own brothers and sisters to work and, you know, they're doing whatever, that nobody's really going to be paying attention. And one of the real reasons, one of the things that I, you know, that I've been saying since last year, this is the perfect time for us to start trying to get our act together. Because if you pay attention right now, these colonizers are fighting amongst themselves. This dude Trump got these people so riled up, they don't know if they're coming or going. I say we take advantage of that confusion and we get focused. So by the time they actually lift their heads up and see what's going on, they're going to be like, oh, okay, well, when did these black folks get their act together? And then another thing, right now you got some white people. I mean, we have so many mixed and blended families and so much stuff. I'm telling you, like, this is our time right now to capitalize on. Because then you got white folks who don't even identify as white folks no more. Like, they just, like, it's just crazy. It's just crazy what's going on right now. And and we have to look at every single opportunity, every single resource we possibly have, and we have to use that to our advantage. So we don't have anything to fear about being, you know, being targeted like that, because we're not all going to be lumped in one place.
Okay. And lastly, I want to say I do want to support, and I would like to become one of the founding members. And great. I'm going to join just at the $10 level because that's my comfort level for right now. But not only am I going to join at the $10 level, my husband's going to join, and my three adult kids are also going to join. So a total contribution from my family will be $50, with us be all five being founding members. So tell me how to do that at the end or in the middle or whenever.
Really, you can go to blackwalletsmatter.org right now, and you can click on the menu button at the top right corner. When you click that, there'll be a link that says become a member. There's also another link that says the blueprint. So basically what I just described here was basically a summary of the blueprint. But if you want to just, you know, check it out and make sure all the facts and figures add up, we have a very detailed plan. And then where it says become a member, you click that and you'll be able to choose at the silver level, which is the $10 level, 25, which is the gold, and 50, which is the platinum. And then you could set that up. If you have trouble doing all different, you know, all the five different ones, I'll text you, I'll give you my number, and then I'll set it up for you. Especially if you're going to, like, use the same card or something like that, because if you're going to do something like that, then I'll just set up, you know, the different accounts for you. I can do it for you manually. If that was your intentions of using, like, the same card. If you were going to use different cards, then...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yep. All right. All right. Thank you so much, sister.
You're welcome.
Okay. Brother Trevor.
Yes, hello?
Yes, brother.
Okay. I want to basically just add on first by saying thank you to my sister and brother-in-law for inviting me, Sister Donna and Sister and Brother Jamil. Thank you for inviting me in. A couple of things I want to touch upon and briefly as far as going forward as a community. The first thing we need to do as a people, which my sister and brother-in-law and I and my family, what we're doing is a family communication day where we get together one day out of the week. We sit down and we discuss family issues, business issues, whatever needs to be brought to the table. We sit down and talk. We discuss our history and just basically get that door open to allow our kids to communicate to us, because I've noticed kids today, they don't want to listen to parents. They want to do what they want to do and how they want to do. And when we were coming up, we talked to our parents. Even if we didn't like it, our parents talked to us, even if they didn't want to be bothered with us. And that, I believe, if we can just get the family structure going, everything else will fall in place that much faster. The other thing, one of my examples as far as what the brother was saying, as far as the business aspect was concerned, I have this thing called the four black psychology, where you have a cubic block. On one corner is a white store. Next corner is a Chinese store. Third corner, Arab store. And the fourth corner, you have a black store. And this cubic block is in the black neighborhood. And the first one to close in that neighborhood is the black store because of the psychological brainwash that's been put upon us. Once we break that chain, the community will be able to get involved once they realize what's been done to them. The last thing is mass involvement as far as protecting our businesses. Like the brother was saying, if everybody across the country is involved in doing what's needed to be done, that's that gold protection right there. Plus, with the amount of money that we'll be able to put in, people have to realize, especially our people, if we want to make a change, we first and foremost got to work within ourselves, network with ourselves. The second thing is to get our funds together so we can slow down or stop or make these politicians work for us. This is what other races do. They pull their monies together, they get their businesses and finances in order, then they go to the politicians and say, okay, either you work for us or you're out. What we do as a people is we talk smack. Or if you don't do this, I'm going to get you. They don't care about that. They don't care about that. So if we can all get it to the point where in our homes first and expand out, everything else will fall in place that much faster. As far as these people coming in and bombing us, as far as our communities and what have you, if we have the right capital and we have the politics behind us, they can't do nothing. You look at the Jewish community, you look at the Asian community, and even the Arab communities. They're doing it, and they ain't doing nothing no different than what our forefathers and mothers did. We did the same thing. It's just that we allowed them to infiltrate our minds with nothing but garbage. I used to tell kids, I used to drive transportation, and I used to tell the kids all the time, if you only knew a third of your history, you wouldn't say or do the things that you say and do to get yourselves in trouble. If you knew your history, you would be proud to say, I'm a black man or I'm a black sister, because 99% of what's been created on this planet was created by us. It was just stolen by them. But now, once you have that knowledge and know, there's no excuse. So that's why I say we got to first go back to the family. Beat the family mind up and get them to recognize what really is going on and make them believe in themselves, everything else will fall in place.
Brother, you when you get a chance, go on a website, watch the blueprint. The blueprint is going to, like, within the first, 5 minutes, you'll see what our priorities are, the people that we're focused on, that we really want to focus our efforts on, and you'll see why. It's basically essentially what you're saying. That's why we're focusing. Uh-huh. So we're focused on the family. We're focused on, the single mothers. We're focused on the men who are still in the household, who are trying to, keep the roof over their heads, still trying to, raise their kids and things like that. Those are the priorities because, one, they have the children, but, two, once we are able to address that, we believe that it'll have a domino effect. Like you just said, take care of the family, it'll radiate out. But the thing is, so we need those resources, though, to be able to help them. Because if that brother is saying, listen, man, I'm out here, I'm trying, I'm willing to work, I'm ready to do this, we got to have a job for him. And it can't be like $8 an hour, $10 an hour job. This dude got 3, 4, 5 miles to feed. He need to make some serious money. So, and I watch how these guys take care of themselves on these construction sites and with these, these $20, $30 hour jobs. I watch how they do that. My son's basketball coach, you know, I had like a real candid conversation with the dude, and the dude was like, yeah, man, I was strung out on drugs and this, that, and the third, man, but, you know, my people put me in rehab, and then when I got out, man, yeah, my brother-in-law got me a good job with the union, and I'm making like $30 an hour now, and I was like, what? Just like that? I was like,
well,
man.
Listen,
you know what I'm saying?
Not to cut you off, but I'm a retired New York City correction officer. And I had a gentleman who was locked up looking at double life for something he didn't do. And I'm the type, if I didn't tell you to do nothing to disrespect or harm you, I'm a nag you to death as far as how you're doing, whatever, whatever. Long story short, this gentleman was not trying to hear me for a couple of months. But every time I saw him, what's up, brother? What's going on? How you feeling? Till one day he said, yo, why do you keep talking to me, man? Don't talk to me. I said, brother, I didn't do nothing to you. You didn't do nothing to me. But the way I was brought up, I'm going to say, what's up? How you feeling? You good? Cool. You don't like it? All right. I respect that. But I'm going to still speak my mind. Long story short of that, we got to talking. I convinced him to go to law library, study his case, know what he's dealing with. Don't believe or go with everything these lawyers tell you, because a lot of times they're working for the DA. They're not working for you. Long story short of that, I was dropping off my ex-wife to her job. I get to a red light. This gentleman, and this is after maybe a year and a half, 2 years, I haven't seen him. But I see him crossing the street with a suit, shirt and tie, and a suitcase. And I beat my horn. My brother, he looked, oh, shit. Yo, Chambers, yo, what's going on? Long story short, he says, I said, where you going looking all dappled up? He said, you see that big brown building back there? I said, yeah, what about it? That's where I'm going. I'm going to work. I said, well, go for you. He said, you're not going to believe what I'm doing. I said, what are you doing, brother? He said, I work for a law firm as an assistant.
Oh, wow.
The man never even thought to look at a law book for nothing. For nothing. And he said, Chambers, I thank you. Thank you for pressing issues with me. Thank you. And my thing is, if all of us brothers who are in a place where, not to say we're comfortable, but we're okay, all of us got to pick up the next brother and keep it moving. But today it's like brothers don't want to do that, and it's really sad to see. If the brothers just did it, imagine what the sisters are going to do.
We got some work to do. It's all about leading by example, brother. To be honest,
that's
with you. But I want to say, so you work? Did you work on an island?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. We got to talk. All right, because you know Depp Davis and all of that, right? You know all.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. That's my family. So we'll.
Okay.
We'll talk about all of that. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right then, brother.
Okay.
Sister Constance.
Why can you do that?
Sister Constance.
Hello.
Hey, sister, how are you? Hello? Did we lose her? I think we lost her. Hello?
Hello?
Yep, there you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, my second one. Been hearing a lot. I've been trying to listen in closely. I have a question. It was a couple callers back when she, the sister was saying that we had to, once we build everything back up, how is it going to protect us?
How
us from
protect
our communities being burned down again?
Uh-huh.
And you had made a statement saying, what do you, like, we're going to build it up and no one's going to be noticing it?
Like, so we have, like, it's like a distributed network. So the way that we have it right now in terms of putting it together is distributed. So there's no particular head. There's, like, no real way to target. And because it's all, like, businesses, right? So each business has, like, a different name and may have a different entity. It's not, you know, everything is not going to be Black Wallets Matter, Black Wallets Matter, Black Wallets Matter, especially when we start going into the political arena, especially when we start
you know, trying to hire the lawyers and the lobbyists. We're not going to go there like, hey, Black Wallace Matter. We will we'll be the name. We'll do just like how these other people do. The People's United for blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to play the game the same way they play the game.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. I see. I understand that. I was kind of confused. I didn't know. So my input on that is I think that and the caller that just got off had brought up politics. And that's the way we protect ourselves. I think if we're going to build any entity, it has to be alongside with the politics. I actually think that we need to establish our politics first to get policy, because that's how you protect yourselves.
Well, you need money. You need a lot of money.
You need money, so whatever. Yes, so we build. I think we need that infrastructure first, and we need to understand our politics. We need to at least establish it. We're using this business to practice this type of politics. We're going to sort out X, Y, and Z. This is what we need for our community, and this is what needs to happen. So that I understand we need the money, but I think it needs to be more of a not focus on the business and then don't have the politics.
The business controls the politics, though. That's why you got to understand the way how the game is played. Right now, we're in a corporatocracy. This is what America is right now. America is a corporatocracy. The big banks and the big businesses and all of that stuff, these people are sitting there gaming the system to their benefit. They're jerking it. It doesn't matter who. Like, they gutted the whole American middle class.
That is very true. You want to know why? You know what? You want to know why they're doing that, though? Because they have all the wealth. Because they don't have all the wealth.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. So they got the money first. Right, so they have the money first. And so so lawyers and lobbyists cost money. And lawyers and lobbyists.
And not to cut you off, so they got that wealth through. They got their wealth from generational wealth passed down through from us.
Well,
free labor.
Some of them, just the fact that they're white, I mean, a lot of them are deeply entwined in, like, there's a gazillion industries in this country. There's so many different businesses. There's things like, because I specifically study finances and, you know, economics and business and all that stuff, there's so many things. I mean, there's industries I have never heard black folks ever talking about. Like right now, like, they're building robots to go out on those with the oil rigs to, like, sense oil and gas leaks and read the meters and stuff like that. Like I've never even heard. I never even heard of that. I didn't even know that's an industry.
Right. Not talking about that because we have no money.
That's what I'm saying. But this is what I'm trying to explain.
As a community, we have no money.
We do have money. Our money isn't being used right.
What money do we have? We have no wealth. We have people, and this is kind of like what I'm trying. This is what I'm learning. Like, we have no wealth. We may have people making decent income, but that's individual. We may have individual, but as a community, we have. The reason why our businesses can't succeed, yeah, we have our problems within our community with how we don't support one another, we don't stand up for one another. You know, that is, from what we come from and what we have allowed policy to do to our community.
Right, but what I'm
policy.
Saying is this. What I'm saying is this. Who have influenced policy at the local level are people who have money. And most likely those people got their money through business. Now, whether that was generational or whatever it is, you came on the call a little bit later, but I just basically laid out the three components of an economy, which is the production, manufacturing, the distribution, and the consumption.
How
we are the consumer.
Right. We are consumers, but we are consumers right. because we are living, half of our money is basically spent on to survive.
Right. But what I'm saying is, so now imagine.
We have no way.
Okay, but listen, sister, hold on. Slow down. Slow down. I understand you're excited. I understand you researched something, right? But a lot of times the information people are sharing are not based on, like, what's really going on. They're regurgitating. Here's what happened. Here's what happened. You got a whole bunch of people who are consumers, right? But if we owned the stores that the people were consuming from, guess what? All we have to do is do the right thing with the money. We just have to be fiduciaries. That's all we need in the black community. So if you sit here saying we don't have no money. We
so listen
no money.
To me.
Hold on. The Asians ain't listening to whoever's saying we ain't got no money. The Arabs ain't listening to whoever's saying we ain't got no money. The freaking white people ain't listening to whoever's saying. They're looking at us taking the money. We got one, we I mean, 9, 10, that, so that money, all we need are a few brothers and sisters to say, you know what? Black folks like spending their money at a corner store. Black folks like spending their money at a chicken restaurant. Black folks like spending their money at a bar or whatever. We open up the bar, the chicken restaurant, the liquor store, the corner store, whatever it is. The money comes in, and instead of we leaving the community and going to go buy a Lexus and a big house in the suburbs, we take a percentage of that money, and we go and we just invest or we spend a portion of that into a community resource center. We put a little portion of that. We take another portion of that, and now we go and we create a local political economic fund. But see, the thing about politics is you have to be able to control the votes. Well, what happens is when you put that community resource center there and you're helping the brothers and sisters in that community and they're able to reach out and touch it and feel and see that how they're spending their money with this store, and then that in turn goes to, you know, giving a computer program for their kids. When you go and you put somebody in front of them and say, listen, this is a politician who stands with us, who believes in us, or whatever it is, and this is who you go and you give your votes to, that's how it works. That's the power. And that's the plan. That's the, you know, that's the blueprint. That's so what listen. The plan is. So somebody
your
has
vision,
to work. Huh?
So listen, your vision on how to build the business to get the – your vision is, I understand it, and what I'm saying to you is, none of that happens without politics. You want to know why? Because all of those communities you just named, the Arabs, Asians, they do X, Y, and Z. You want to know why they can do all of that? Because they get government assistance. They get government funding. So if you look at the numbers, and I don't have the exact numbers, when your community as a whole, even if you just take people that's doing business, when you compare those numbers, it's nothing to what those communities are doing because the opportunity is not there. And you want, the opportunity is not there because if you're black, most likely they're going to find a way to deny you the loan, the access. Like, we don't have the access.
Okay.
And only way we get that is if we practice the proper politics.
All right.
We
well,
have, as a condition to me, you said we have the money if we spend our money correctly.
Sister,
but that $1.3 trillion of spending power, your spending power, that
sister,
means,
hold on, but you're saying something.
I'll let you talk for like 20
right.
minutes.
What you're saying is not true, though. I got two businesses right across the street from each other.
You got two businesses.
I did it as a 21-year-old kid with like you
and
know, I didn't know nothing about politics. I didn't know nothing
you
about
that,
brothers and sisters.
Sir.
But that's
sir.
What I'm trying to tell you. Everybody can
listen,
do it. We can
as
do that.
As a community, we have no wealth. Even if we combine our money, like the wealth, we have no money. As a community, I understand it's people out here doing well. What I'm saying to you is
You're a member already. You already know.
I am. So listen to what, let me finish my statement without you interrupting my thought is what I'm saying. I let you talk for like 20 minutes. I'm trying to get clarity and I'm trying to help.
You're repeating something from somebody else. We not buying. Listen, no excuses.
What you're saying. What is no excuses? Listen to me, sir. How can you hear what I'm trying to say if you won't listen?
Because I know what you're saying, and it's wrong.
You can't know what I'm saying if you won't allow me to speak it. You can't. Do you know you're reading my mind?
You said politics. You said we can't do it without politics, and you're wrong.
And I'm trying to explain to you and give you the picture to why I am, this is just my opinion. Whether you agree with me or not, you got to let me finish it out. How can you hear what I'm trying to say if you're over-talking me? I haven't even brung home my point.
All right,
you may not want to hear it, but this is my opinion. If the floor is open, let me finish.
Yeah, thank you, guys. That was just fine.
So is the floor open?
You got it. Go on, sister. Go on, sister.
What I'm saying is your vision is cool, but what I'm telling you is these communities that you name, they have access. We are talking about systemic failure within our community. All of this history we're breaking down, that how people came into our communities and burnt it down, everything that has happened to us from slavery to now, how politics has evolved. They got smarter with slavery. We just the new slaves. All of that, I mean, this is our history, and this is who we are. And what I'm saying to you as a community, we don't have it. You are doing well, sir, but what about the rest of the people as a community? When they compare us, they don't say, oh, well, you got a business and you got a business. It's as a community. Yes, the story said 1.3 trillion spending power. But listen, we are basing our wealth off of what we can consume.
Oh. All right, sister.
Can consume, sir, just because you can go and get a $40,000 car with a $1,000 down payment. Now, do you have spending power or buying power? Because these white people are going up in these stores paying cash. These people are paying for their kids' education with cash. As a community, we get loans. You want to know why? Because we don't have the wealth. Generational wealth is what we're talking about. We don't have it. You want to know why? Because they took everything that we had, what we worked for, what our ancestors bled for. They took it. So I commend you. Yes, I'm not even disagreeing. We have to do, yes. There are steps that need to be taken to lift us up. And what I'm saying to you is you can't do it without your politics being right. You want to know why Clef couldn't offset it? But you want to know why he couldn't become president of Haiti with all his fame and glory and they loved him 1 minute, but kicked him as soon as he tried to practice politics? You heard all kinds of stuff. They threw his name, man. And you know why he didn't get it? And he said it, and you can look it up. Tariq Nasheed, 1804, Haiti. Wyclef said, I would have had it head down if my politics was right, but I didn't understand it. I didn't understand my politics. But all the money he had, he couldn't get it done because he didn't understand the politics. It is a, man, it's a different beast. And what I'm saying is you can't build nothing without that protection. Because if they do something wrong to you, guess what? You go to your government and they got to correct it. Everybody out here getting reparations but us. It's not that we are messed up as a community, but it's to no fault of our own. It's what they did to us. And we as a community have to understand we don't fucking have it without the politics. Because they will burn your shit down. And guess what? This day and age, we got to, that's the fight, man. We have to fight. We celebrating MLK's 50th. And we still asking for something. We in the worst, we worse off. This man died. And he was understanding. You have got to have not only the politics, but you got to have the economics, and he was going to sue them for what from what they took from us. We don't practice politics. I believe, yes. One caller said education. Education is everything. Fran Hansen said it. If you don't have your politics together, you're just going to have people in place thinking they doing stuff. They can have the best intentions, but if you don't understand this game, you want to talk about the game that they're playing, you got to understand it. And if you don't understand politics, you don't understand the game. Because you don't understand the rules. And if you don't get out here and select the right politics to make sure they're going to put money in our community, because that needs to be the agenda. Put everything you can read on politics and policy. If you got anybody in your town working on policy, get involved because it's serious. They are killing us through laws because we don't practice politics. We think a black face is, oh, you my brother, and we wonder why people don't trust black politicians. You think just because they black they're going to help us and we're not involved at the same time? So that's the education that we need alongside the business. I'm not knocking what you're saying, brother. I'm just saying you have got to understand the politics as well. You can't just go out here and do community centers. And why should you do it on your own when your government owe you? And that is what we need to be fighting for. That's what Dr. King died for. Get that language right. Because get the language right. Now, I don't have all the answers. I don't know how we're going to do this shit, but we have got to get these politics right. They are killing us with a pen. And we have no money. Compared to what these white capitalists, people talking about money this, money that, man, we don't have it. And Dr. King wasn't even about being a capitalist. I watched the story. They told me that man, when he got money, people were sending him money just to keep it even. He would give money to organizations because he didn't want everybody to perceive him as him just taking all of the money. Not only do we not have our politics, but yes, we do. We dealing with a moral. We have a, I don't know where the morals is these days. And it ain't just black people. We all hurting, but the focus needs to be politics. What are you doing for my community? We don't have the money. We got the votes. We need to figure out who we voting for as a collective, who we vote for, city by city by city by city. And your agenda needs to say specifically what you're doing for my community. That's the fight.
All right. Thank you, sister. We got a bunch of people in the queue. I guess they're going to chime in on all of that. I would invite you to watch the blueprint again. And look at the plans for this organization, because if that doesn't make sense to you, then give me a call. You got my number.
I've seen the blueprint. I've been a member for a while now.
I know you have. I don't want to get into it because we got a whole bunch of people in the queue. But I will talk to you tomorrow, or I'll call you tomorrow, or you call me. And we'll have a smoothie and we'll talk about it.
Smoothie sounds good.
All right.
Thanks.
Sister Sandra. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. This is Sandra.
I know. How you doing, sister?
I'm good. I was thinking, we as a black people, we need corporations, not just small businesses. We need corporations. Not only that, we do have like black banks that are promoting their business for us to invest in. I invest myself with One United Bank, which is an all black bank. Now, if we can hit them up for loans or whatever to open up some businesses. And I'm not just talking about mom and pop stores. I'm talking about investing in some type of corporations. Like, basically, where I live, it's a lot of Walmarts and Targets and stuff like that. But we need somewhere we can go and shop and put our money back into the community, you see. So, like, if we had similar to a big box warehouse where we, where, you know, just owned by blacks, where we can, you know, do our shopping or whatever, and that would help generate jobs or whatever else is needed for the black community to start something like the Black Wall Street, you know.
Okay.
I don't know. The only thing I can think of, you know, what can we do as far as, you know, reaching out to the black-owned banks where they are able to give us loans without discrimination? Because from the way I read in the past how some banks discriminated against the minorities on purchasing a home or a business or whatever, you know. So I think we need to reach out more towards black-owned banks.
Okay. Thank you, sister.
Yeah.
All right. Next we have Sister Latasha. Yes, sister.
Hi, Brother Lou. How are you doing today?
Peace. How are you?
I'm doing great. I really don't have a question. I just wanted to share something with the group. Today I was driving down, if anybody is on the phone from Houston, I was driving down Telephone Road near 610. And I noticed this black man simply working to beautify the black neighborhood. And it's not his job, but it's his job. Meaning he was not getting paid to pick up trash off the side of the street, but he was simply doing it, his job, to beautify his neighborhood because it was his charge to. He felt honored just to pick up the trash over there. He wasn't out there begging for money or anything. And in his doing so, it really reminded me of Black Wallets Matter. Because regardless of what, it's not our job, but it's our job to help out our black people. And it was so beautiful to see it in action. I mean, it gave me goosebumps, and I just wanted to share it with the group. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sister. Appreciate that.
No problem.
We do want to have a cleanup effort, you know, because spring. Well, where I am, it's supposed to be spring, and it's still freaking cold. I don't know what's going on. But we want to start having cleanup efforts and stuff like that, getting people together, going out, just pick a neighborhood and just start cleaning stuff up and, you know, have, you know, basically, you know, let them know that the organization is out and we actually try to do some things. So thank you so much, sister.
You're welcome.
Okay. Brother Leonard.
I'm on the call.
I'm sorry?
Peace, everybody. Greetings to our sisters and brothers. And Lou, especially.
Your phone is breaking up. It sounds like you have a bad connection.
Okay, let me hold on a second. I'm gonna try something real quick. Give me a second.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, excellent. Yep.
Okay. I just want to kind of piggyback on what the caller said before. I understand what she meant about the other minorities, but the one minority that didn't have all of these benefits were the Hispanics. And I just want to share that back in the 60s, actually the 50s, all of the jobs, all the service jobs, the kitchen jobs, hotel cleanup, maids, butlers, that was all black, okay? When the Hispanics came over, those are the jobs that they took over. But I say the same thing over and over again. Each one of these cultures have cultural collectivity. So that's that. But what somebody mentioned about having corporations. So As you mentioned, you have a business, and I'm working with a brother that has a business. We're Southern Cafe in Oakland, and we're in Antioch. And right now, we have the district attorney is having her fundraiser here at the restaurant because we're closed on Thursdays. So you're right. There are things that we can do, and we're going to do it. I could hear the frustration and the passion in the sister's voice, apparently. I mean, I feel like we all did. But we got to keep pushing, and we can't lay down, and we're not going to lay down. And I just want to encourage all of us to continue to fight this fight. I was listening to Dr. Boyce Watkins and Dr. Claude Anderson, and I'm sure some of you might have heard this one, our segment, but they talked about, I think Claude Anderson mentioned about the $1.3 trillion buying power. No, it was Watkins said it, and Dr. Boyce, and then what he said was, I don't care nothing about that. We need to have black wealth, okay? That's where we need to go, and I think that's what that sister was trying to say, because the politics will come along with that, and Black Wallets Matter will lead that charge once we hit our 2,000, our 3,000, our 5,000 members. But I want to touch on something else this brother said. He mentioned in the conversation that the brother that got the Walt Disney straight, he said he focused on capital, okay, capitalism. He needed to have capital. He didn't try to get a Mercedes-Benz for $30,000. He didn't try to buy any of Nike's $150 tennis shoes for his kids. He focused on money. But the other thing he said is once he got capital, he went to a bunch of millionaires. And they invested in him. And then at the very end of the conversation, Claude Anderson said, we got to do this ourselves. And he said, we could do more if our brothers and sisters that have the money. Because, yes, we need the wealth. But there's no way that we're going to turn this thing around unless that's what we do. We're the only race. And, yes, it does stem from slavery. We're the only race of people who run from our neighborhoods. I don't know any other race that runs from their neighborhood, okay? You got Chinatown, you got Koreatown, you got Vietnamese town, you got Armenian town. But when it comes to us and when we get the money, we want to leave the community rather than build the community. And that's a training process that we have to work through. And I just want everyone to know that this is the way, okay? We're not crying. We're not hand out. We're going to do this ourselves. But there is going to come a time when we're going to have to talk to our big dollar brothers and sisters to come back because we're going to have to hold them accountable for this because what's going to happen 50 years from now is not going to be pretty. But the standard that you're setting, Black Wallets Matter, what you're doing right now, what we're doing right now is the way. And I just want to give some encouraging words. That's all I have.
Okay. First of all, thank you for chiming in, brother. And then, again, like I said, we want to extend our condolences to you in regards to Sister Teak and things like that. And I was, speak with Sister Maya earlier. So.
Right.
And I know that you guys have the fundraiser going on at the time, and you're still taking the time to be with us, so appreciate that. Appreciate your commitment.
Yeah, it's important, man. I mean, we're all believers, and this is what it's going to take, and it's going to take 2,000 more of us. Out of 40 million African-Americans or 40 million blacks, there's at least 5,000 of us who think the same way. We just got to find them, and that's what we're going to do. So what we can do is to continue to get people on the call. Like I have people on the call right now that are listening, and I just told them stay in the listening mode. But we're going to continue this journey. And, again, thank you for the condolences. I appreciate it.
No problem, brother. All right. So next we have Brother Cujo. Brother Cujo.
Hello.
Peace, brother.
Peace. I just want to give encouragement in the same direction. I like the conversations that we have a lot of times during the member meetings, because it's good to go over our objectives. Because the having a collective effort is of course ultimately valuable, and we know at least a small group. I mean, we're talking about thousands of people. Well, we will be building to thousands of people to have the core founding members, and even the series that we have about communicating with each other and how to do it best, and making sure that we have cohesive communication so that the movement can be the same. Of course, all of that is valuable. And I think just sometimes to rehash to make sure that everybody is abreast of what's going on and how it's working, it can be a good idea, because in our community, everybody is not totally aware, and sometimes we have differences of opinions, but ultimately our goal is the same. So it's always good to hash these things out and get clarity about what's going on, and sometimes even with the details of how things are going to be carried out. I mean, I can appreciate some of the things that the sister said, and I really do appreciate her passion. And in actuality, a lot of the things that she addressed is actually in the blueprint. Like you said, she watched it before, and everybody has this familiarity. It's just sometimes we see the way things are still going in society for us, and it can be a tough pill to swallow. But the fact of the matter is, we do have a solid plan to operate, and it's gonna take, of course, money and politics, and dealing in a capitalist society is just a fact of the matter that money is always gonna influence politics, and we're in a better position when we actually have stuff going on. We have these different we have businesses going on, we build larger corporations. That's definitely one of the things that's in the blueprint. And of course the ultimate goal of having a community resources, they serve their purpose. And truth is, yeah, we do have the potential to run into some headaches, but it is quite a different environment than it was back in the 70s, 60s, 50s, and of course in the 20s and 30s and stuff like that. And I just feel like it was worthy of acknowledging that we do have different protections, and society operates at least a little bit different than it did back in those days. So as far as having a total loss, if you had some radical people that actually tried to destroy let's say a resource center, we had different protections in place than it was 50 years ago or more. I mean, we can reasonably expect if somebody did do something radical and try to sabotage something, then we would have insurances in place, and it would be kind of unreasonable at this point to believe that we wouldn't be able to recoup. But just because of the way the tone of society being a little bit different than it was them years ago, I mean, it's reasonable not to expect the exact same thing to happen. But like I said, there's different protections that we have in place, and being involved with politics and doing philanthropic type of works, because basically it's funded by the membership organization. You know, that supplements us being able to do what we need to do to make sure stuff get off of the ground, and we support it financially, and in accordance with the way the blueprint is laid out, yeah, we will be in contact with and working with lawyers and lobbyists and stuff like that to add further protection for any places that we'll need it for our efforts, but also for our culture at large, you know, and how we're able to move in society. So, I mean, it is all part of the plan, and sometimes, respectfully, it is good to talk about it so we understand thoroughly and we can have the comfort that's necessary to know that, yeah, it's a worthwhile movement. And that's pretty much all I wanted to say about it.
All right, cool, Brother Cujo. Thank you very much. All right, and then we have Brother Vaughn. Brother Vaughn.
Good evening, brother. How you feeling?
Peace, brother. How about yourself?
I'm all right. Listening to, you know, everybody speak and stuff, I was just thinking, like, I something that I got to say. And I want everybody to understand, like, we're doing something that has never, ever been even tried before. We're doing something from scratch that it's been attempts in different manners, but nothing in this manner. Nothing in the way that it's being put together, and we're doing it from scratch. So it's like, A lot of what's being said is like future bridges for real. Like it's stuff that we're gonna have to cross. But like right now, it's the together that we need. Like we gotta get the us together that we need so that we can start what we're trying to do. Like we just in the etching part. We still etching everything together, sketching everything together, and getting the understanding and ideas of what's really needed to be done in order for us to even start what the organization is about. Like we have to get, it's the numbers. And what is known is strength in numbers. And when we get that strength behind us with those numbers, we can do whatever we want to do. We're going to be able to do whatever we want to do because we're going to have the strength in those numbers. Like, it's unbelievable the way things change when you have the right numbers. And it's like, I know it's hard to believe that people can do stuff that you've never seen done before, but like I said, we're doing something from ground roots that's never been done before. Nobody's ever even seen it before. So it's like it's gonna be a hard road. It's gonna be a long ride, but it's the togetherness that we're gonna build and that we're building right now that is gonna make sure that this lasts and it goes exactly where we want it to, because it's not the us right now. It's them youth and babies that all the difference is gonna be made for. And where we at right now is not where they're going to be because of what we're going to do. That's all.
Thank you so much, good brother. No all doubt. Right. And then we have Sister Donna and Brother Trevor again. Sister Donna.
Oh, hey. Very quickly, I just wanted to say I totally 100% agree with the queen that spoke on the politics. I see both sides of this picture. I see where you're coming from. I see where she's coming from. And I just wanted to thank you for allowing her to finish her thought, because if we are going to get anywhere as a people, we have to allow each other to speak, whether we agree with them or not. And we do need to look at all sides of the coin, and everybody brings something important to this group. So thank you both. Thank you, sister, for your contribution, and Brother Lou, thank you for allowing her to elaborate on her feelings. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Brother Trevor.
Yes, hello?
Peace, brother.
Peace, brother.
I just want to, well, the queen that spoke earlier, she had my blood boiling for a second, but I do understand her frustration. I just wanted to say that even with what has been done and what is being done to us, in order for us to make that change, we have to come together. We can't stay on what was or what is, because if we do that, then we're just allowing that same psychological slave mentality way of thinking fester even more. We already are aware of what is being done or what has been done. The question is, what are we going to do about it? And from what I'm hearing, first time being in this, I'm loving everything I'm hearing, because the more we communicate, the better our situation will become. You know, so going forward, I say to the sister, I understand your plight, I understand your frustration, but just keep the fight going. Don't worry about the negative. The negative is going to be there regardless. But if we can come together, first off, like we said, pool our monies, our finances within our communities, then we can get to the political side of it. Because going to the political side of it with no funds is nothing going to happen. We're going to get the same end result. So we first got to build our foundation, build our funds, then we can go to the politics and demand what we want. Not ask them, but demand that we want X, Y, and Z. And once we get to that position, everything else will stop. Every other culture and race has gone through the same thing that we're still going through. But the difference is they didn't allow that to stop them. They didn't allow the words that were being thrown to them stop them from what they wanted to do and where they wanted to go. We just have to do the same thing. And that's basically it.
Okay, cool. So we got about 15 minutes, about 13 minutes left on the call. I'm just going to summarize, and then, and then we can get out of here early. What the sister said in regards to politics, absolutely, for those who haven't watched the blueprint, that is absolutely in the plan for this organization. Our plan is to hire lawyers and lobbyists and things like that. As the brother just said, and as I was iterating, it's going to require money, because that's how you're going to have to do it. But the other reason for having the businesses, especially putting our brothers and sisters to work through the businesses that we have, is that we actually have the ability to control the votes. Because now if you putting people to work and you tell them, hey, listen, this is the candidate that you should go out and, you know, this person represents our views and whatever else, that's how you throw the votes behind the person. And then when you need to, so Brother Leonard is at a fundraiser right now. I mean, we could just ask him, what's the purpose that they're raising funds for? Right off the bat, I know a lot of that is just promotion and marketing and things like that, and being able to, you know, grease the wheels of justice, or whatever you want to call it, grease the wheels of politics. That's essentially what it all is. So, we need to, at some point in time, we are going to have to get really serious about our politics, our political representation. But, based on what is going on in the economy, based on what's going on in American society right now, the people with the money are the ones who are bending the laws and the rules to their will. And it is so much so to the point where it's not even about black or white. It's the haves and the have-nots. Those, the elite, the 1%, whoever you want to call them, the top earners or whatever it is, the top wealth holders in this country, they are selling out the rest of the white people. They have shipped the jobs across seas to, you know, Mexico and China and India and all these other different places. They actually just carved out the middle class. They didn't even care. And the way that they did that was, they had the laws. They, you know, had NAFTA and the TPP and all these other different things created, and then basically just start outsourcing all the jobs to these other places.
Now, and, you know, so, to, you know, as I was stating earlier in the call, and then to the sister, what I'm trying to say, and as a matter of fact, let me unmute her so I don't want it to make her feel like I'm trying to talk at her. Can you hear me, sister?
Yeah.
Great. So for you to understand the power of that 1.4 trillion, that for the power of that consumption, because I am aware of the, I'm going to call them talking heads for now. I am aware of the talking heads who I don't want to hear about the money. I don't want to hear about that $1.4 trillion in buying power. I want to hear about wealth. What the buying power, like, where do you think the wealth comes from? It comes from people buying stuff, and then the people who get the revenue, they're stacking it. That's how the wealth is accumulating. That's a real world. That's how it works in the real world. Like, this is no theory. And you know, you know, like you said, okay, well, you're doing well at this, that, third. Yeah, I had no advantages. I didn't have a layup. I didn't have a inside man or nothing. I was just a young scrappy dude and was like, yo, you know, I'm gonna go sell some T-shirts. I'm gonna sell some water guns. I'm gonna sell some lights. I'm gonna sell whatever it is that I gotta sell. And by the way, I sold a lot of that stuff to Spanish people. I'm gonna sell all of this kind of stuff. Go to these carnivals. I'm gonna follow these carnivals around, and I'm gonna sell lights and flashlights and water guns and whatever else I gotta sell. And I'm gonna save my money, and I'm gonna go open up this barbershop. And once I get some money from this barbershop, well, the first thing I did was went. I brought a Lexus. So that's how I know, for like all the stuff that I'm talking about, the stuff that's in the blueprint, the stuff is not there from like a theoretical perspective. It's what I've done. It's my life. It's what I've actually done. It's how
brother,
I figured it out.
Hold on. I'm sorry. No, my battery is about to die, so I didn't want you to think I hung up. But
let me just tell you about how the money can go to wealth. How the spending power from, you know, the 1.3 trillion or whatever. So let's just take
let me say this. So the most of the to get a full understanding of what I'm saying, people want to call everybody. Check out the video Tone Talk. He talks about our spending power. His name is Tone Talk.
Yeah,
so
but
if you seen that video,
he's a lawyer though. He's not a yeah.
So listen to me. So
yeah,
you seen that video,
right? But they're not business.
Okay, so listen.
They're not business people. I'm a business person.
So this is the thing. They do data. So even if
okay, listen to me.
You're talking about data as a collective, as a community. What we're going up against. Like, we're not, like, if you've seen that video, then I just allow people to watch it.
I stopped watching.
Because I don't understand.
I don't understand why.
Because you know why?
Because they're acting hopeless, and that's because.
It's not acting hopeless. It's dealing the facts. Take your feelings out of it. Facts are facts.
No, listen.
That they're kicking out.
Here's the facts.
Listen to me.
Here's the facts. I sold water guns and balloons, and you still have no wealth, sir. You don't know what I have.
You don't know what I have.
I'm not standing in front of you like the average dude, though. Let me go back and listen to the video. Go listen to the recording
that I did with the other brother. And I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm not trying to knock what you have or what you built. But what I'm saying is, in comparison to, it is no. Listen to me. Amazon just took out Target. So the businesses that you're talking about, that you're talking about building, I'm not knocking the idea, but what I'm saying is you're talking about Target. You're talking about T-shirts and water guns and stuff, and we're talking about going up against giants.
But you didn't let me finish of how you can start with. You can start with that, and you can go to owning 15 buildings. You can go to owning a record label. You can go to having a bar and a grill and a barbershop. You can go to employing black dudes on your construction crew. You can do all of that as a young, scrappy black guy with no leg up, no advantage, no nothing. That's the point, what I'm saying. And then the benefit is, I am here.
I'm not going to say not no advantage.
And the benefit is,
I am here. I am part of this. So I actually done those things. Yvette Parnell and Tom, they work somewhere.
So I want to say real quick to the fella that said the Hispanics didn't have a leg up. People that are employing them are white people. We don't own business. So all of the jobs that we so-called don't want, that they're working, that they're taking from us, quote unquote, that's because that's people behind them trying to keep us. It's not all just that we don't want to work. That's policy. People moving for them. When something happened to us, you said for a week, they talked DACA and policy about immigrants, about Mexicans, for months on end, all year round. They're painting a picture like the whole world see all Mexicans, and I'm not knocking their fight and I'm not knocking their cause. But you can't say that they don't have a hand up because we're not employing them, white people, white capital, because that's what they choose. They're choosing their next cheap labor person. And guess what? We're already at the bottom, so guess what? We're going to kill two birds with one. We're going to get out cheap labor and lift these people up because guess what? We're black, and they don't care about us.
No, it's because the Mexicans understand business. Because the Mexicans understand business.
It's no loans.
It's exactly what I just told you. They come, they like, all right, listen, white people, they got these big properties.
How do they get the job? Hold on.
I'm telling you exactly how. White people, they come, okay, cool. We know we come to America. White people got these farms. They got this stuff. They got to pay other white people or black people $10 an hour. We'll cut it. We'll work for seven. We'll work for six. We'll practice group economics. We'll live 20 of us in a house. We'll save all of that money. Then we'll buy the house. Then we'll buy the store next to it. Then we'll buy the car lot. Then we'll buy the insurance company. I'm telling you, this is what it is. Hustling. It's called human capital.
Nothing that you said included government.
That's right. None of it includes government. Most of them are illegal.
Okay.
Most of them are illegal.
Okay.
They're illegal. A lot of them are illegal.
Like I said, if you want some information, there's another outlook, way to look at it.
All right. Okay.
Everybody make their own opinion.
Right.
Things is what it is, but data means a lot. And if you're about what the data says and the truth of the matter, I'm not saying you can't have aspirations. I'm not saying that you can't have your business. But what I'm saying is it's bigger than that. I don't think
it's no more complicated than when you told me that you want to start your business. I said, go get this stuff and go and do it. It's no more complicated than that.
Listen, sir, what I'm saying is there's levels to this. And when you start talking about building and having corporations and stuff like this, that you're going into the stratosphere of politics.
No, we're going into the stratosphere of having money. We're going into the stratosphere of having money. That's what we're doing.
You hear me say the man Wyclef had money and couldn't become president of Haiti?
Listen.
Because
Wyclef's situation. That's fine. That's what he did. But what I'm trying to explain to you, listen what I'm trying to explain to you. You're talking about one isolated incident. What I'm saying to you is this, first of all, the people in Haiti, I don't even want to get into that. That's not our discussion. We are only concerned about us and what we can do. And so here's what we can do as black folks. Here's what we can do. We can understand what happened to us before, and we can say, woe is me. And we can be like, it hurt me so bad, I can't do nothing. Or we can be like, it happened, so what? Now I got to look at what I have, and I got to figure out how to get to where I want to go. I don't know if you were on that members call or whatever it was when we were talking about the characteristics, but one of the main characteristics that we identified, the number one, is the heart of a champion, the heart to be a winner.
When the bank say, I'm not giving you the loan?
I never went to a bank to get a loan for nothing. I don't even know why people think if you go to look to buy a business right now, if you go to look to buy a trucking business right now, it will say owner financing. The people that keep talking about this stuff, and I was saying this the other day, most people have this romantic idea about business and don't understand business at all. They don't understand business at all. If you go, if you have a way, if you provide value, this is what the Mexicans did. They came here and they provided value. You know what they provided? They provided cheap labor. People have value in that. They was lining up at Home Depots. Guys have construction crews. They probably got paid the other guys $18 an hour. I could pay this Mexican guy 10. That's value. That saves me $8. I'm going to go grab all these Mexican dudes. What the Mexican people do, because they know they're not getting the $18, it's 10 of them, 5 of them, 6 of them, whole families living together in one place where they're paying $900, $1,000 rent. How do I know that? Because I have Mexicans in it.
So this is the question then for me. I feel you. I'm listening to you. I feel you. So this is the question. So we build up whatever business. Let's just say whatever
we
business.
We buy. Yes, we buy. Okay. Yeah, let's say we buy a transportation Yeah, we buy a transportation business.
Put all our money into it, and now a law is being passed that will undercut our business.
And now what? I'm sorry?
A law has been passed I can't even say to what extent, but it undercuts, because our politics wasn't right. It undercuts our agenda, which is making money. Meaning some law is being passed, so now, like I said, Amazon took out Target, put them out of business. They were able to do that because of laws and policies that was passed.
How did Amazon put Target out of business? And Target is still open down the street from me. What do you mean?
Maybe I got the store the chain mixed up.
They didn't put Toys R Us out of business either. Toys R Us got busted out by through a LBO, a leveraged buyout. But look it up. That's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is most of the people who are talking about this stuff are talking about their romanticizing. They don't understand it.
Look it up.
I believe it's Bain Capital. Bain Capital. They go around. They do that. Bain Capital and
so that only my question still is, like, I mean, it's just like we.
Sister,
what I'm saying is, like, this is my question.
Plan.
This is what I understand. And it goes to what the lady had posed, the question. How do we protect ourselves?
Here's how we protect ourselves. Well, our first order of business is to create a digital, to create the shopping portal. The shopping portal is a digital piece of software. The overhead on that is relatively low. The margins on it are very, very high. The ROI on that, because we're not actually going to have any inventory, the ROI on that, it can be into the thousands. It can be infinite because we don't have any product. Basically, what we're doing is facilitating a transaction. That's all we're doing. Once we do that, now we are able to generate. So a company that came out since I talked about doing this generated $200 million. The original company that did this, they did $200 million, and the original company did $2 billion, $2 billion in revenue in 1 year. Now, they got a big infrastructure and all that other stuff, so I don't know what went to the bottom line. What I'm saying to you is when you have $200 million coming in revenue, people will be lining up to give you credit for whatever business that you can. You know why? Because you have proven that you can take a dollar and turn it into two. That's all it is. You can create a system. You know how to manage money. You know how to flip money. That's all banks care about. We will have no problems receiving funding. We will have no problems because we're not going to just go to the bank and be like, well, you know, I got an idea. Give me some money. That's being unrealistic.
So at the end of this, what you said was we're going to go leverage the money to go to the bank.
I'm not saying we're going to the banks for anything. Actually, you don't even hear me mentioning those banks. You seem like you got a lot, and we're past 11 o'clock. So, but I'll speak to you a little bit later behind the screen, sister.
Okay.
Brothers and sisters, I want to thank you for jumping on the call with us tonight. Again, if you are not a member and you like what you heard and you want to be part of this organization, you know, you can go to blackwalletsmatter.org. You can watch the blueprint video to get a full understanding of exactly what this organization is about and how we plan on getting from point A to point B or Z. And we invite you to come aboard. All right, good night.
Good night.
All right.
Good night, brother.
Mr. Brothers.